Hello, is this John?
Hello, Robert, this is John.
Hi, so, well, thanks for taking the opportunity to put out some time to work with me today. So how do we get started?
Well, I'm going to mention one thing real quickly. Basically, what I'm going to do is ask you some questions, and what we're basically doing is I have a list here of 60 emotions. There are actually many more than that, but all of the ones that there are fall into one of these 60 categories. So if your body is ready to release a trapped emotion related to a particular issue, it will be identified, and then that's the one that will be released. But basically what I'm going to be doing today is I'll be leading you through what we call an emotion code session. This method uses muscle testing to identify and release trapped emotions. Muscle testing helps us to link to our mind-body consciousness, which can also be called our subconscious inner wisdom. Trapped emotions are made of energy, as is everything in this universe. And those trapped emotions are created from a negative emotion that somehow got stuck in our body. Releasing these trapped emotions can often help us lead a healthier and happier life. However, this emotion code method is not designed to cure or treat disease or mental illness, and it is not intended to take the place of your doctor or any treatment that you're receiving. Do I have your permission to proceed?
Yes, please. I'm ready to release anything that's trapped, John. Let's go for it.
All right, and it may be on some of these things, it may be that we'll end up... If something happens within your own lifetime, not within the womb, there will be a chance where I can try to determine the age. So how old are you now, Robert?
I am 65.
And what I need to do first is, this could be done on, as you know, on pretty much anything that involves something that's not right in the body, whether it be physical pain, emotional pain, phobias, fears, a variety of different things. And I guess what you need to do is to tell me what you would like to do this on. Is there a particular issue that comes to mind?
I have thought about that some, John, and I think an issue for me that's plagued me my entire life has been anxiety over the fact that alcoholism has been rampant in my family system. It seems to always be in my face, and it really does create stress and anxiety off and on. It seems as though it's been there since I was born. My father was an alcoholic. The last 5 years of his life he spent basically in diapers. My brother's wife died of alcoholism at the age of 52. His daughter now looks like is following the same path as the mother, and it looks like she just lost 60 pounds. She's only drinking now and not even eating, and it looks like she's going to basically wind up in the same place as her mom. Alcoholism is, in terms of my family system, has just been rampant. So it's a situation that creates anxiety for me now, although I don't live near my niece. It's very much present in my consciousness every day. So alcoholism is big in my family and creates a lot of anxiety.
I think that's an excellent excellent topic. In my own case, I really have never had alcohol because I had an uncle who was an alcoholic, and I really didn't even know him until I was much later in life when he no longer was an alcoholic, and that influenced me to the point where I didn't want to have anything to do with alcohol, whereas in cases of other people it may actually put them in the other direction. So that's a great topic. A lot of people I think are affected by this or by something related, might be drugs, might be alcoholism, might be gambling, but some kind of addictive behavior.
And same thing happened to me, John. The reality is, when I saw my father in diapers, he was always an incredibly competent, smart, able individual, a professional, a patent lawyer. all of a sudden, I'm looking at my father, and he's in diapers, and I'm saying to myself, I'm not doing this. I'm sorry. This is not how I'm going to wind up. So it's been now about 20 years since I've ever taken any drink at all, and that was an influence in my life as well. Sounds like you had a similar experience.
Right. And the next thing I need to do, and this is subjective, but obviously there's some, for want of a better word, severity level or anxiety level. And what we do is we use a scale of 0 to 10. 0 means there's no stress, no pain, physical or mental or anything else. 10 means it's the worst it can be. So what I need you to do is, and this is subjective, just to try to take a guess at what your anxiety level is right now, as opposed to, and if you have to think about it, that's okay, but it really doesn't matter if it was a lot more, you know, 3 years ago. It's really your current condition.
I would say in the present, it's probably 4.5, a little less than halfway mark. It really fluctuates widely. So if I'm going to get a call from my brother here in the next week or so, and he's going to say she's in the hospital, that number is going to go up to 7 or 8. Or if he says she's much better, that number will go down. So it's really a function of the news that I hear about the people in my family that I know are alcoholics. But right now it's about 4.5.
Well, I can tell you're a mathematical person because very few people give me 4.5.
Well, it's true.
Most people say 4 to 5.
No. Yeah, most people don't know this, but when I was in my academic position as a professor, my work was all dominated by quantitative methods. So I was very, if you look at any of my published articles, there are many, they're all very, very quantitative. I guess you're right.
I can kind of relate to you. One past area of my life, I was a junior high math teacher, and I have an advanced degree in mathematics, which I try to stay away from.
Right, that's what I'm doing too. We're both in the same boat, it sounds like.
What I'm going to do now is I'm going to make an energetic connection with you so I can do the muscle testing on you over the telephone.
Great.
Now, for people that are looking at, that would buy this book and are able to, let's say, do it on themselves, and it may be difficult with somebody with let's say a Parkinson's or tremors to do, but some people can. But there are ways in the book of things are explained, and there's a flow chart in there, and basically I kind of go by the flow chart. And the first question, and I'm asking, you're not answering, but I'm asking this of your subconscious, is whether or not you have a trapped emotion we can release now with regard to this issue. And if the answer is no, your answer was yes, but if the answer is no, that means one of two things. Either there are no trapped emotions connected with that, or your body's not ready to release any right now for whatever reason. It might be tomorrow or it might be next week. And in a few cases, I add the word hidden. If nothing comes up, I'll add, are there any hidden ones? Because a certain percentage of them are hidden for whatever reason. Once you've identified a hidden one, it's no longer hidden, and then you can deal with it. Now what I have to do
Let me stop, John. Okay, so you just figured that out. How in the world did you do that? I know that's right, but how did you figure that out?
How did I figure out what?
The fact that I do have this trapped emotion.
I have this energetic connection to you right now. Basically, when you're muscle testing yourself and you say, in my case, if I say my name is John, I will test strong. And if my wife's name is Dorothy, if I say my name is Dorothy, I will test weak. And if I want to connect to anyone else with their permission, obviously, then if I say right now my name is John, I'm weak. If I say my name is Robert, I'm strong. In other words, I have basically made a, you might say, a telepathic type of connection to you.
So you're doing muscle testing on me because you energetically connected with me.
Yes.
That sounds awesome. Okay, I'm ready for the next step.
All right. So and what I did, now that I'm you, so to speak, the first question was, and I'm just reading this so I get it right. The first question was, do you have a trapped emotion we can release now? And the answer was yes. Now what I do is I have a sheet of paper, and this is in the book. It lists 60 emotions. They're in two columns, so column A has 30, column B has 30. And there are even rows and odd rows. There are six rows. So 6 times 5 is 30. There are 6 rows, 5 in each row, and 2 columns. And basically, very quickly, we will ask, is it in column A or column B? And right away, that eliminates half of the trapped emotions. It'd be very time-consuming to ask each one of the 60. So you pin it down to a column, and then you pin it down, usually ask if it's in an even row or an odd row. So once I've eliminated the one column, I've got it down to 30 trapped emotions. If I eliminate either the even or the odd rows, now we've eliminated half of those. Now we're down to 15, and then I will check. Let's say it's an even row, and is it in row 2 or row 4 or row 6? And then we've got it down to 5 emotions, and at that point, I will determine whether it's personal or whether it's inherited. And the reason that I like to do that is usually when it's inherited, sometimes none of the emotions may really show up. It's kind of a, you get kind of crazy results, and then you can go back and ask if it's, I usually just ask first. And then you're down to one emotion of these 5. I usually say that in the first, you can do one at a time, like anxiety, despair, disgust, nervousness, or worry, that's in one of the boxes. Or you can simply, sometimes I say, is it in the first 2 or the last 3, and then I come up with a 1. But the idea is very quickly you can identify one of 60 emotions that's the number one emotion related to a problem that your body is ready to get rid of at this point in time. And then after that, there may or may not be any more. I've had a couple times where I've only, myself and I only had maybe 1 or maybe 2. Sometimes you can get 8, 10, 12, 15. So let me figure out which one it is. I'll ask the questions out loud so you can hear what I'm saying. Is it in column A or column B? And it's in column B. Is it an even row or an odd row? It's in an odd row. Is it in row 1, row 3, row 5? It's in row 3. And now I've got it. I've narrowed this thing down to and I've got a little square that fits over these 5 things so I don't get distracted. And I'm looking at column B, row 3, and there are 5 emotions there. Well, I'll tell you in a second, but I want to say that the emotion, a lot of times the emotion is something that you wouldn't even consider related to the problem. It may be something that seems real obvious. It may not be. But this emotion is stubbornness.
Ah, that's great. Okay, that sounds good.
And this is a personal emotion. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to, like I say, some of these are what we call prenatal. They occur when you're in the womb. Usually they come from the mother's emotions, but they can come from the father or someone else that's close by. In other words, emotions are energy. You can pick up the energy from those people around you, and very often, or sometimes we do. So let me see. And I've got that this is prenatal, and normally what we do on that, that was when you were in the womb, whether or not it was, you know, usually we decide whether it's first, second, or third trimester. And this one was second trimester, and it is prenatal. Sometimes when I'm doing this with people, and I'm probably an expert on this because my mother was in labor for 30 hours, so I picked up every trapped emotion I think she had. And I found that a large number of mine were prenatal, maybe because of that. You may or may not, sometimes somebody will remember that their mother told them that like in the case of this one individual I mentioned where somebody had, father had left the mother in the middle of the pregnancy or something real unusual. But a lot of times it may just be some day-to-day thing that, that you inherited. And I just tested that this was your mother's emotion. Basically, what we want to do now, with your permission, I will release this trapped emotion.
That sounds good to me, John. Go for it.
And basically, you can release a trapped emotion, and you can help me too, but basically, we both intend that this emotion disappear, and I will rub a magnet over roughly over my head and down my back a little ways, and what that's doing is it's magnifying the intention. Intention itself will work, but this magnifies it, makes it a little easier, and normally we do this three times if it's a personal trapped emotion. If it's inherited, I guess they're a little stronger, and normally we do that about 10 times. So right now, let's intend to release this trapped emotion. And then what I did is I tested you to see if that had been released. And it had been.
Oh, yeah. I'm so tired. I'm eternally grateful. My God. That's
now,
been there forever.
There may be, like I say, there may be any number of these related to this particular thing. But what we'll do now is we'll ask, you know, is there another trapped emotion we can release now with regard to this? And the answer is yes. At some point, your body will say no. And then I will ask that other question, is there a hidden trapped emotion? And a lot of times you'll get some hidden ones. But at some point, your body will say no, and the hidden ones no. At that point, that means either that's all you have related to that issue, or that's all that your body is willing to release today, because it's only willing to give up so much so fast, because I guess it is a thing. You know, I'll go over this later where your body has to do some adjusting after all this. So let's go on to the next one. All right. I've figured out that this is in row square, that's B4. Let's see what this one is. This one is inherited, and by the way, on most of these emotions, you kind of know what they mean. You know, if I say anger, most people know what that means. But if I say something, and this is not the one, yours is taken for granted. But if I were to pick something like betrayal, for example, sometimes the meaning is not crystal clear. So on his website, and I could help anybody that wants to contact me or whatever, but he has definitions of each of these, because sometimes you take something like betrayal. Well, the first thing I would think about is, you know, somebody betrayed me, or I betrayed somebody, but maybe it's I betrayed myself. So there are different, slight different meanings to some of these. Some things are kind of can either be physical or metaphorical or whatever. So on any of these things, you know, I have written definitions. And if I'm doing this with somebody, they say, you know, I don't really know what frustration is, which they probably do. I can read them a definition. But this one is taken for granted. It's inherited. And what I can do now is, and I'm doing this, I'll determine where it came from. I determined that this came from your mother's father's mother. Typically, they go back one or two generations. I've had some done on me when it was done on me. There were a couple that went back seven generations. Typically, it's parents or grandparents, people that you're, you know, more closer to you. And let me ask the other question. We haven't come into this yet, but sometimes you'll have one or more, usually one or two or three other ones that might be tied together in some way where your body doesn't want to let go of one without letting go of the associated one. And so when I ask this question, is there anything more we need to know about this emotion, I get a no. But if I got a yes, then it might very well mean that there's another emotion that's tied to it at the hip, so to speak, and your body wants to get rid of both of them. So I've asked the question, do we need to know more about this emotion, and can we release it, and are you ready to release this trapped emotion?
I am, and just to clarify, this source is my grandfather. father, in other words, my mother's father's mother, and it was she who was taken for granted. Do I understand that correctly?
Sometimes, yes. That's where it was originally trapped in some human's body. In other words, for whatever reason, that emotion was not processed correctly, and we don't get a manual when we're born on how to do that. But sometime in her lifetime, and not before her, but sometime in her lifetime, she was in a situation where this emotion of, quote, taken for granted was trapped in her body and passed on to descendants. And just because I'm going to read the definition of this, it's feels treated with careless indifference, not given thanks, or for something accomplished, similar, or ignored. So basically when we're not treated the way we think we should be treated.
Well, that's really fascinating to me. I don't know a whole lot about her. I do know that she was married to a man who was a preacher who apparently rode from town to town and did his preaching. So it makes sense that she might have felt as though she was taken for granted, because I think she accompanied him on all of those trips. The other interesting nuance for me is the grandfather you're referring to was a serious alcoholic. He basically drank his entire life. He divorced from my grandmother when he was about 30 or so. He married four other times, and in each case he married a wonderful woman, but that woman, as it turns out, divorced him because they just could not tolerate the drinking. He died at a relatively early age, at about the age of 55, married to a woman who was able to tolerate his drinking. So it's interesting that that's been the issue that's been in my life now ever since I was born, and you've targeted him and his mother as being a source.
Right. And I was, it may be that at least part of his problem may have come from his mother.
That's what is pretty obvious, yes.
Well, I mean, either in terms of something inherited or just by being around somebody who, you know, maybe had a problem or whatever.
Right.
Let's release that now.
Great. And
this is inherited, so I'll be doing this about 10 times rather than 3, and I'll do that now. And you can just, along with me, just think about intending to release this. I'm finished, and I've checked that this has been released. The hardest thing for me is counting to 10.
Right, John. This is so exciting. I just want you to know it's like it's gone.
All right. Now, my next question is, I've already asked, did we release this? Yes. Do we need? Do you have another trapped emotion related to this anxiety over your family alcoholism? And the answer is yes. Is it in column A, column B? And let me just figure out what.
So for those of you who've just tuned in, John is now going through the elimination of all of those possible emotions to determine which one we need to focus on next.
You can think of this as like an onion. In other words, as you peel an onion, you start at the outside and work your way in. And your body knows, your subconscious mind through muscle testing, it knows which one is most ready to get rid of. And you just keep going until you've got rid of all the ones that there are, or all the ones that your body is willing to get rid of. Sometimes it's not willing right away, because it is a little bit of stress on the system in the short run to get rid of things. Your body has to, these trapped emotions actually physically distort, well, physically, that may not be the right word, but they distort your body's energy field. So as they're released, your energy field will readjust to that, and kind of interesting. All right, so let me figure out what the next one is. And this one is inherited also, and this one is the trapped emotion of self-abuse. And I'm going to read that definition, because this is one that has a lot of different meanings, It's abusing the self emotionally, including negative self-talk such as, I am an idiot, I'm such an idiot, blaming the self. Abusing the self physically involves mistreating the body by use of addictive substances, to not care for the body by lack of sleep, proper diet or nutrition, to work beyond what one can or should endure, to punish the or tax oneself excessively. This abuse may help atone for, quote, sins, real or imagined, and it usually is driven by anger. Illness can be forms of self-abuse, such as, I don't deserve to be healed. There's quite a few aspects of that one trapped emotion. And now what I'll do is I'll determine where that came from. And I've got that this comes from your mother's mother.
That's interesting.
And I also just asked if, do we need to know anything more about this? I get a no. Can we release it? Yes. Are you ready to release this?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me do that now. All right. I've got that has been released. Like I say, this is a little flow chart in the book. Basically, you just keep going through the same thing over and over and over until you get to where you either have to stop because of time constraints or your body is saying, you know, that's enough for today. And it might be enough for several days, but at least for the time being. All right, let me ask if there's another chapter motion we can release now.
And, John, while you're doing that, I'll just tell listeners that that particular identification makes sense to me, too. My mother's mother was one of the leaders of the prohibition movement back in the 20s in this country. So it doesn't surprise me that she would have been self-denial big time, and probably always there was some degree of self-abuse that she felt as though she wasn't deserving. So that makes good sense to me as well.
Well, Robert, I've got some good news for you.
Go.
I asked your body if there's a trapped emotion related to this that we can release now, and I got a no. And then I asked if there was a hidden one that we could release now, and I got a no.
Wow, that's great.
So that means as far as this particular session, your body will not allow any more trapped emotions. It doesn't necessarily mean there are none more related to this, but it means that that's all you can release
right now. So we're done for today.
But I have to do one or two things before we finish. The most important thing is to ask you if your severity level is the same or not, and it may be and it may not be.
You know, I'd say it would be less, John. Of course, we've been focusing on these other issues, but no, it feels like
now
it's
down to about 4.9.
Right. No, less than that. Oh, let's say 2.5, 2.23.
Okay. What? Here's something that you may not. I want to make the listeners aware of is that just because something doesn't change doesn't mean that there aren't good things going on. For example, I had a lady who had an issue, and she gave me a number of 10 plus. And when we were finished, it was 10 plus. A few days later, I got an email from her, and I talked to her, and over the next few hours, or certainly the next day, but I think it's mostly in the next 3 or 4 or 5 hours, it dropped to, in her words, below zero.
Wow. She works at the extremes, doesn't she?
So sometimes, and it could go back up. I mean, it's not due to necessarily the things that you release, but there are other things that may still be causing problems. My daughter was here a couple weeks ago, and she had a knee problem. She's had off and on for a long time, and it totally disappeared. And I talked to her like a week later, and it was still gone. So yeah, it's probably gone. But things can change. So one thing I want to do, and this is quite important, basically, when you a trapped emotion is, for want of a better way of looking at it, kind of like a ball of energy in the body. And if you were to have surgery on the body, if somebody were just to open you up and close you up and not do anything else, you know, you would take a certain amount of time to recover from that experience of, you know, going through that surgery. And so here's what I usually tell people, if I'm doing it with someone by phone, I will send it to them by email, and if I'm doing it in person, I'll hand them a sheet of paper. But here's what this processing, quote unquote, after an emotion code session is. After an emotion code session, you must, and I repeat, must adjust to the, quote, surgical removal of one or more trapped emotions. About 80% of the time, there will be no visible symptoms. About 20% of the time, usually for no more than 1 to 2 days, you may, I repeat, may be more tired, and that's a common one, feel out of sorts, have vivid dreams, or experience emotional ups and downs. This is normal. Just drink a lot of water, you know, eat healthy foods, you know, get lots of rest and let your body heal itself. So that's all I want to say. It's just like if you're recovering from having the flu or something, there's a period where you have to, you know, sometimes you get a little bit worse before you get better. But most people have no side effects, so quote unquote, and they're only short term. And usually, when they do, they're more in the area of being more tired.
John O'Dwyer, this has been a fascinating session for me. I have a postscript for you. And you went to the first release. You identified stubbornness and had a caveat. It doesn't always seem obvious that that would be applicable. Just before my father had to go into the Alzheimer's unit, he didn't have Alzheimer's, he was basically just unable to care for himself, I asked him the question, so Dad, what do you remember about me as a child? And he paused for a couple of minutes. I didn't think he was going to actually answer. And he looked back at me and he said, well, you always got your way. I thought to myself, wow, and I didn't really perceive that as, you know, myself as a child, but as I began to reflect, I realized, I think that's right, stubbornness prevailed. I was a little guy. Now, we focused on anxiety and my specific issues over the alcoholism in my family. A person can also address a very specific physical symptom too, right?
Absolutely.
So if a person has a tremor that's just been not able to be resolved, this is something they can focus on and say, okay, let's work on the tremor in my left leg or my right arm or wherever it might be, or perhaps difficulty walking. They can focus on that, and then you could go through the same kind of sequence that we just went through with my issue.
Right. I will mention that in the book, The Healing Code, in fact, I'm looking at it now, pretty close to the beginning of the book, there is a chart of, he has a section called page 21, at least of the online book, I'm not sure about the other one, it's called Trapped Emotions and Disease, and he mentions that he has a list of all the of a bunch of different conditions that he has. Well, I'll just read it. On the following page is a list of conditions and diseases that my patients came to me with, where trapped emotions appeared as a contributing factor, and many times as the entire cause of the condition. And I won't read them all, but I mean, he's got acid reflux, ADD, allergies, blah, blah, blah. And then he's got Parkinson's disease listed in the list. I do not know what he did. I don't know the man, but obviously he had some success in some way with some person or persons with Parkinson's disease.
How do people get in touch with you then to arrange just such an appointment?
Well, the easiest way probably is, I'm an email person, but I'll give you both, but my phone number is I live in Mississippi, 228-875-7183. And my website, I'll give you an easy website to remember. It's not the one on healthnut01@gmail.com. healthnut01@gmail.com. So either one, and I'll repeat my phone number. It's 228 875-7183. And because of my wife's situation, I am really eager to try to help people with Parkinson's and learn more about it. And anyway, that's my contact information, Robert.
John O'Dwyer, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to do a session with me. I have obviously found this to be incredibly fascinating. I can't wait to tell Deborah all about it.